Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Sunday, June the 27th, with the good music of my friend Carlos Geddes. We get another podcast on the way. Tonight we're going to be talking about, I think, probably the number one topic in the country, if not number one, certainly in the top two or three, and that is the gun violence in our cities. What is going on in our cities that there's so much violence, unfortunately, too many people being killed? I have not seen the figures this weekend from Chicago, but I'm sure that there were shootings and unfortunately people killed in Chicago again. Last week it was 7 dead, 54 shot. I mean, that's pretty incredible that this happens just about every weekend. And to give us a little perspective in all of this is our good friend Bruce Woodall, of course, author and retired from law enforcement, and obviously has a background or a viewpoint of someone who's been, you know, close to the street in situations like these. Some, you know, many times when people like me speak or others speak, well, we're speaking more from a theoretical standpoint because we've never been there at 2 o'clock in the morning in a city, let's say, where there's problem. But Bruce has, or at least has that experience, and he's going to be with us tonight. But let me say hello to our friend Bruce. How are you, Bruce?
I'm doing well, Silvio. I'm getting hammered with rain right now.
All right. Well,
Southern New Mexico.
Oh, I would just make sure your umbrella is ready in case it starts leaking from the roof at any moment. Did I describe your background there pretty well in law enforcement? Did I do that correctly? I mean,
yes, that's fine.
Great.
I did my time.
Yeah, I just got a. I have to say this. The audience is going to laugh, but you'll understand, Bruce. I just got a photo from my son, a photo of Lincoln, and it's just great. He's just he looks absolutely great. So I'll share the copy with you later, Bruce. But anyway, anything having to do with that little grandson of ours always gets my attention. Well, before we get to the topic, and would you agree with me that this is one of the top two or three topics in the country right now, Bruce? Violence?
Yes.
Maybe number one. I guess it depends where you live, you know. But before go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there's regional concerns. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before we get to that very serious topic, I do want to say something pleasant and something you and I are fans of rock music. So this week in 1942, two of the most creative people in rock music were born the same week, 2 days apart. Paul McCartney, June 18th, and Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, June 20th. So those were two of the most creative people. The fact that they were born the same week in 1942 made it possible for the two of them to be prominent songwriters and creative forces at the same time. So I think these are two of the best, Bruce. Paul McCartney and Brian Wilson.
How lucky we were to be alive the time that they were putting out their best music.
I agree. I mean, those were the two of my super, super favorites. And for a time there, for a couple of years there, they were just producing some of the most amazing and arranging some of the most amazing music in pop history. Well, let's get to our subject, difficult subject, but we have this explosion of crime in our cities. And we've always had crime in our cities. I mean, I don't want to give people the wrong impression that it was always peaceful. No, I mean, we've always had crime. Any city has crime. But it just seems here lately it's become more vicious, become uglier. And I have to tell you, I sympathize with any man wearing the blue uniform because it's got to be frustrating out there, Bruce.
There's been too many of the cities, mayors, city commissioners, whatever, that have put restraints on law enforcement where it's needed the most. And to the extent that, like in Portland, their critical response team, they resigned. You know, because an officer got physical with a protester.
Well, I think you're touching... Yeah, go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, what we're seeing is a response to perceived in many of these communities that there is neglect to the oppression, to the systemic racism, and no one is willing to do anything about it. And that works through the political expediency of many politicians.
Yes.
They don't want it here. You know, they don't want to solve that.
I think there's what we're seeing is the almost a textbook definition of a perfect storm. There's three things going on, I think. The first one is within the community itself, particularly the black community, you've had a total collapse of the black family. When anywhere from 70 to 72% of black children in these communities, and I'm not talking about the whole country in those communities, 70 to 72% are born to an unmarried woman, and they're being raised in homes without fathers. I think that does have a negative impact. The statistics clearly prove that kids growing up without a father are more likely to engage in criminal behavior. This is not a knock, by the way. I want to make sure that I say this. It's not a knock on single mothers, because I think in many cases these single mothers are doing the best they can. But it's tough to grow up without a father. The second issue is the criminality, that's what you were talking about, that has been accepted over the last year. And then when you put guns in the middle of this, Bruce, it's a perfect storm for some very bad things, Bruce.
If the cartels can get fentanyl into the cities with the ease they've been doing it since the border's wide open, they can also get guns in there. Okay, there's influencers on this. And fentanyl is how you make money if you're a drug dealer on the streets. And then other drugs as well, maybe marijuana. But along with the drugs come the guns. They're more than willing to provide these people they want to sell their drugs with firearms. This isn't a problem for legal firearm owners or even gun stores. That's not where these weapons are coming from. They're on the street or they're coming through.
And that's what was so disappointing about President Biden's speech a few days ago, because it's almost as if he was like living in another planet. Because the problem is not gun dealers. He kept talking about gun dealers and closing loopholes. And I have no problem with going after gun dealers who are violating the law. But that's not the problem. I mean, that's not a major reason for the problem. The real problem is, like you say, these guns that are being handed to these people by criminal elements who have no trouble getting guns, Bruce. I mean, they can get whatever gun they want because they buy them in the free market. It kind of... or the not the flea market, but the black market. It reminds me a little bit of a segment that I saw on Spanish TV a couple of years ago, that in many parts of Mexico, more and more citizens are petitioning their state governments for the right to bear arms. They're saying, we have to have weapons because we cannot defend ourselves against these criminal elements who have all the weapons. I mean, somebody breaks into your house, he has a gun and you don't have one. Well, he's gonna get whatever he wants, you know, including even violating your wife or daughter if depending on what their intentions are. So, it's almost like a perfect storm for this, and you don't have the politician like you're saying, you don't have the politician who's willing to stand up and say enough is enough, like Giuliani in New York City 20 years ago. Or apparently this new fellow who looks like he's going to be the new mayor of New York City, who's basically saying, we got to take back our streets, because if we don't, the businesses are never going to come back, Bruce.
I forget his name. He was
Adams.
A former... Yeah, he was a cop.
Yeah, his name is Eric Adams. I know Adams is the last name.
Yeah, I've got CBS New York up on, not right now, but I watch it. I have it up during the day, and I've been kind of following this. So it'd be nice to see if Curtis Silva gets any gets anything out of this. He was the guy that started
right.
the Angels.
Right.
What was the name of that group?
The Street Angels, wasn't it? But they were like people who were fighting crime. I think that's what it was. But it doesn't look like he has much of a chance compared to Adams because of the Democrat police, I mean, the Democrat political machine. But I think it's good to see candidates running for office in New York City talking about crime. I mean, that's what the problem is, Bruce.
You know, I like nothing more than flying out of El Paso into Liberty Airport in Newark and then getting a car and going into New York City and seeing a Broadway show, go down to Little Italy to Palermo's and have dinner, you know, coffee and cheesecake. And I'm not doing that. I haven't been there since 2019 just because of the crime wave. And they've reopened New York City, but still, you know, there's shootings, there's stabbings, there's assaults on the street.
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, that's what this guy Adams is saying, Bruce. You know, he says you cannot rebuild the city if you've got this level of crime. It makes a lot of sense to me. He seems to have a lot of support from African Americans and the different Hispanics who live in these communities who are sitting there saying, you know, we're more unsafe. We're unsafe without the police. We want the police back.
And New York's got a good police force there. You know, New York cops are portrayed as expendable in these action movies. You know, you see New York PD cars blowing up. The old series NYPD Blue had an episode about this cycle of crime, and it was excellent. It was probably revolutionary for the time, you know, with Dennis Franz.
Yes.
And anyway, I stopped and, you know, when I was back there last time, we'd stay out till 1 or 2 in the morning down at Little Italy. Of course, no one's going to mess up in Little Italy because there's such a heavy presence of the mob.
Yeah.
You know, there's no crime, no cops. But anyway, enough of that.
No, but clearly there is a wave of violence. I mean, we're seeing it even here in the Dallas area, which had been pretty safe really for a while. And what I see is it's the areas that are run by the Democrat Party where the problem just seems to get, where the problem is out of control. You know, Chicago, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, L.A., you know, Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York City, St. Louis. All of those cities are basically run by the Democrat Party. There's no Republican presence in any of those city governments. And that's where the crime is just getting worse and worse. And then compounded with city councils, you know, making idiotic decisions like defunding the police and stuff like that. I mean, I just think it's a perfect storm for what we're watching, Bruce.
Well, I always talked about the hardening of America, where they're going to request that the citizens start carrying sidearms, and laws are going to get tougher. They're going to take the chokehold off law enforcement and say, go after these guys, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to happen. I don't advocate for that, but that's what I see. If we become a violent society, political promises, I'll address it, we'll deal with that, campaign promises, you know, in these local districts and stuff. And when they hear that and they vote for that guy and nothing happens, nothing changes.
Right.
Chicago's a really good example of that. 7 dead last week.
Yeah, and that's the problem, and that's the part that is never reported by the media, because the media, you know, most, you're right, most of these cities are run by Democrats, and they keep promising these African American populations this and this and that, and there is no reasonable alternative. I mean, there's a Republican running, but he's got no chance of winning. So these populations are basically electing people who'd ever take care of them, who don't provide for them, who don't create investment in their cities. I mean, their cities are falling apart. Their schools are falling apart. Their neighborhoods are falling apart. And, you know, it's the perfect environment for the kind of violence that we're seeing, Bruce.
Well, they're sold in some of these communities, quite a few of them, they're sold this idea that there are problems with poverty and violence and single mother or single parent households, the result of years of systemic racism. Part of that is true, but a lot of that has been corrected. They've gone too far to the other side, trying to fill the gap, you know, with welfare programs, take the place of the father. And then the other side of the coin is the courts are so lenient today. They don't want to persecute these people because they're going to lose that political expediency. And they'll do it at the self-worth, so to speak, of the very people they're promising to protect.
Right.
They're offering them up.
Right. Well, you're
just
seeing... the other day I was watching two very interesting people. One, they were both talking about this problem in the streets. I don't remember their names, but one is the police chief in Detroit. And he said, we don't have a gun problem. We have a criminal problem. And he says, you know, not a gun problem. This is the African-American police chief of Detroit, a majority African-American city. He said, we don't have a gun problem. We have a criminal problem. And then they were interviewing somebody else who represented, I guess, some of the citizens who've been killed by crime, and he was saying, "Yeah, we got some. We have to start holding." And I'm paraphrasing what these people, what this guy said, but we have to start holding these judges accountable. I mean, if somebody comes before your court and he's committed a crime, and you let him out, and he's back in the street committing crime again, at some point you got to lock him up and say you're not going to be in the streets anymore. But in New York City, I mean, over and over and over again, they arrest somebody and the guy has a, you know, a long list of crimes. That guy should not be in the street under any circumstances. And we got to start holding some of those judges accountable who make those decisions. And if you have to bring – my philosophy is very simple. If you have to build more jails, if you have to figure out where to put these people, well, you figure that out. But don't put them back in the street, Bruce.
The environment is so ripe for criminality right now in many of these big urban areas you talk about. And young people see the advantage that a drug dealer has in making money as opposed to a $15 an hour job at a fast food place or something like that. And they're not going to go to work because these areas have made it, politicians and judges, much to the frustration of law enforcement, have made it just a ripe environment for the criminality. The chief in Detroit is absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I heard him say that, again, he's an African-American chief, so he cannot, you know, they cannot be accused of racism, and he's, you know, he's apparently from Detroit. He grew up there. But, yeah, I mean, everybody wants to blame the guns, but that's not the problem. You know, let me take a break, but I want to come back and make a point about guns, and just to give you a heads up on it, the point I'm going to make, and think about this during the break, the point I'm going to make is that we have always been a country with weapons, but we have not necessarily always been a violent country like this, and I think there's somewhere in there, I think, there is an explanation. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with Bruce right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, tonight chatting with our good friend Bruce Woodall, great friend of our show. He's also an author. Bruce, before we get back to the topic, I wanted to give you a quick opportunity here to update us a little bit on your writing projects. You know, what are you doing? I think you mentioned last time that you were writing a play or working on a play. So how is that going, Bruce?
I'm working on a screenplay for an independent production company. They just wanted one movie. Now they want that movie turned into three episodes, and they'll try and sell it to Netflix. And so I'm back to the drawing board on that, and I'm grateful for the work.
All right.
And in the middle of that comes the move, and I already told you about how I move.
That's right. You're moving, and then you get rain. You get a lot of rain, which I'm sure makes it very difficult to move. You know, that's
the screen. We don't have the storm, or what do you call that? The storm, not sewers, the storm drains or something.
Yeah, right.
You know, we don't have them like a city like Omaha does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the streets are full of water, curb to curb. And it's a nice relief because we just went through 3 weeks of triple digit temperatures.
Right. Yeah, no, the rain, as I say, that we love rain here. And there are days in July and August and early September where you're dying for some rain because you really need it. Well, let's get back to this very serious point of gun violence in our cities. A couple of weeks ago, I was being interviewed by Univision here, and the reporter asked me about this new law that Governor Abbott had signed that basically allows people to carry a gun. You can carry a gun. You don't have to, you know, anybody, you have what they call constitutional carry. You can carry a gun. And the reporter was asking me, aren't you afraid that that's going to create more violence or more, you know, more people using guns? And I said to the reporter, no, because I'm not afraid of law-abiding citizens who carry a gun. They're not the ones shooting. They're not the one breaking into homes. They're not the ones fighting in the streets like we see in Chicago. So I'm not afraid of law-abiding citizens with guns. I'm worried about the criminals who have guns. And I also made the point that we've always been a country where people have guns. I mean, it's our Second Amendment. It goes back to the foundation of the Republic. But what we're seeing now is it's not something we've seen a lot of, which is this massive shooting in our cities. So it's not the guns. I think it's the society that has broken down. That unfortunately, then people use guns to kill each other, Bruce. Kind of a long-winded setup there on this topic, Bruce.
Very small minority of Americans are committing these gun violent crimes. You know, it's not the hunters, mm-hmm. it's not the guys that collect, it's not the sports shooters, competition shooters. It's a very small minority of people that have the firearms illegally. Probably have felonies in their past and they shouldn't have one, or their mm-hmm. kids, you know, in competition for the drug trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's coming through the open border right now.
Unfortunately, yes. That open border has created so many problems for law enforcement. I mean, it's got to be a nightmare for the police chief. The ones on the border have got to be going crazy. I mean, they're complaining every time they're interviewed on the radio, Bruce.
I was in El Paso yesterday, and we drove by the Border Patrol station or facility that Vice President Harris visited. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's nowhere near the border in El Paso, and it's nowhere near the Rio Grande Valley mm-hmm. where so many of these people are coming across.
Right.
So I wondered, what did she get from that? And basically she said we're trying to follow up on the failed policies of Donald Trump.
That's right. That's pretty incredible. Yeah, well, you know, I have a little post coming out tomorrow where I say she went down to El Paso, you know, like that Marty Robbins song about, you know, that little West Texas town of El Paso. And then she left on the plane because she's never been to Spain, so she's going on that trip. But, yeah, I mean, her trip was an embarrassment. I don't think it did the Democrats any good. I know the Democrats on the border were not happy with it. But again, you know, the point is that we have these toxic, this toxic situation in our cities that I believe it's just perfect for a for an explosion like this of violence. I mean, it's almost like a perfect situation for this to happen. And everybody wants to play the race card and blame it on racism. And, you know, racism is always a factor. But when you have blacks killing each other, well, I'm not sure that's really racism, Bruce.
You know, the best and brightest of our society are being gunned down on the streets of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those kids, you know, had a great potential ahead of them? We got detoured off of N yesterday because parts of it are under construction. And we went through the Hispanic neighborhood. It's like Little Chihuahua, Little Chihuahua.
Yeah.
And the houses are well kept. They're clean. It's nice. You can tell you're in a what we call Mexican neighborhoods. And there's still Trump signs up, Trump banners, Trump flags, you know. And that's probably a predominantly Democratic constituency that are not going to vote Democrat.
Well, I believe that there's going to be a big surprise in 2022 when many of these groups completely disenchanted with what's happening on the border. And then you, on top of that, you put the price of gasoline. You've got a pretty bad political hand for the Democrats in 2022. And I don't see anything that the President Biden can do at this point to control the situation on the border other than to take very drastic action and literally put the army on the border and say, nobody's coming in, period. We've shut the border down and nobody's coming in. We've taken 500,000 people. Not one more person is coming in. Now, if he did that, I think he would win a lot of support among many of those Hispanics on the border, but that's what it takes at this point, Bruce. I mean, what else can he do? I mean, I think they've created this mess, and the only way they can get out of it, I think, is by taking very drastic action to stop it, Bruce. Do you agree with that, Bruce?
You're absolutely right, and they won't because they don't want to be accused of racism.
They're
so afraid of that, and I think the majority of, I don't know this, but from what I saw in El Paso yesterday, that the majority of Hispanics have already turned their back on the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And like I told you earlier, I went to Costco for the first time. I've never been to Costco before for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the place was full of what I would say were Mexican-Americans or people that, you know, came across from Juarez.
Mm-hmm.
People speaking Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Filling up their carts or, you know, those little flatbed things
right.
They roll around. Buying groceries, you know, and it was really nice to see money. People are shopping, money's being made.
Right.
You know, and El Paso is maybe different from, it's more of a West Texas town than Dallas.
Sure.
Definitely than Austin. And people get along, you know, we get along. Okay.
Well, as I told you off the air that I went to El Paso many times on business and I thought it was a very nice town, a very safe town. It's a very nice place to visit. You're right. It's more New Mexico than Texas in the sense that, I mean, you go to El Paso, you know you're not in Dallas, you know you're not in Houston, you're not in Austin, a little bit like San Antonio, but a little even more West Texas than San Antonio. But it's a lovely town, and they have a really, you know, hardworking people who live there. But I don't understand how any of those people, and we haven't even talked about the other states. I mean, New Mexico has a border as well. Arizona has a border as well, and Arizona is having a lot of problems as well on the border. I mean, we've been talking a lot about Texas, but the other states have other problems as well. And I think if you live on the border, you've got to be, you know, pulling your hair, wondering when is this going to stop. And, Bruce, I think the only way it can stop, Bruce, is right now. The only way they can stop it is to literally just stop it in one day and say, we're putting the army down, you know, one man next to the other, and we're going to make a human fence, and nobody can cross. And if you're on the other side waiting to cross, you're not coming across. They may not have the, but I think you're right, Bruce, they may not have the guts to do that, Bruce, But that's about the only way they could stop it at this point, Bruce.
Well, you can send Vice President Harris to Guatemala.
Right.
You know, yeah, don't come here.
Don't come here. Right. Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's that was well received, wasn't it? The people really, I mean, it's amazing. She said don't come, and they kept coming, which is, I think, all you need to know. But yes, I mean, that is a serious problem. Let's maybe talk about a few solutions that, or at least share some solutions about all of this. I put you chief of police of one of these cities that we talk about, Bruce. You're the chief of police. And the mayor says, look, I'm going to support you, so whatever you tell me, we're going to do. What are some of the things that, you know, realistically, some of the things that you would implement in your city, Bruce?
There would have to be a curfew, temporary curfew.
Mm-hmm.
Get people off the street after dark, because that's when a lot of this happens, these shootings. There would have to be to reverse the policy. You know, here in this little town I live in, the police force cannot ask if a person is a legal citizen.
Right.
That needs to be, because ICE just doesn't have enough guys to patrol all these towns. Right now, they're dealing with the flood of people coming across the border. And the next thing I do is close that border.
Right.
Either use National Guard or troops or whatever. Close the border. Even the Mexican president is saying, please close your border. You know, it was working under Trump.
Right.
This is not working. And I wouldn't say, you know, go out and confront these people with firearms. That's not the answer. But a strong policy of containment and contain them, and arrest the people that are in violation of the law, and have the judges enforce that law, have the judges get behind law enforcement.
Right. Well,
and I'm sure in West Texas and other towns that the judges do that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hear complaints about a judge just let, like in New York, all those people arrested for that looting and all that stuff, charges were all dismissed.
Right. Yeah, that is amazing. That is amazing. I mean, we were watching these people on television walk out of stores with TVs and computers and dresses and liquor, and that was all dismissed. I mean, how can you have a safe place when people who were doing that on television, you could see them, you knew who they were, got away with all of that. But I like your idea of the curfew. I hadn't thought about that. Because you're right. I think if you say, you know, everybody's got to be home at 9 o'clock, if you're in the street, you're going to be arrested, I think that would put an end to it. Now, would you, as chief of police, especially in some of these major cities, would you ask the governor for the National Guard to sort of support what you're doing? Simply say, look, put the National Guard here to like a ring, if you will, around the police. So they're not necessarily visible, but they're there, and people know they're ready to act in a moment's notice, Bruce. Would you do that?
I probably would not do that.
Okay.
When people see the National Guard, they think of two things from the past in the United States. You know, a riot, some sort of containment of specific individuals or populations, and then the fact that these guardsmen have jobs and families to support as well.
Right.
I would use the National Guard as a last resort.
So you would, I mean, it's an excellent plan that you've outlined. You would put a curfew, which basically limits limits their criminality, because you're right, a lot of this stuff happens after hours. And then you would find a way of engaging the community more and more by maybe getting more people to talk to you. But your idea about starting to ask for immigration, I think it's a good one, because unfortunately, a lot of the criminals are illegal immigrants. I'm not painting all of them that way. I'm talking about a very small number, but they exist, Bruce.
Yes, they do. And they're flooding across the border with drugs and guns. And our president and vice president, apparently don't see a need to fix that.
Right.
That's where I put the National Guard.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you're exactly right. I agree with you 100%. You put it on the board. But that takes a presidential decision. I mean, the chief of police couldn't do that, or even a governor couldn't do that, I don't think. But that's, you know, I think my own personal prediction, and I think this situation on the border is so out of control right now and starting to hurt the Democrats to such a degree that I wouldn't be surprised if President Biden wakes up one day and says, or reads a statement, because apparently that's all he does, reads a statement saying, you know, we got to stop this, and I'm putting the National Guard on the border right now, and no one can come in for the time being. I wouldn't be surprised if he does that, if no other reason for political motivation, Bruce, because this is starting to hurt them. This situation on the border politically is hurting him. You could see it in all the polls, Bruce.
I read an article today that President Biden, they said he ordered the bombing of the Syrian-Iranian border. And I was thinking, I just hope he doesn't get the borders mixed up, you know?
That's right.
And I don't know what the, you know, I read it, and they had the reasons why they did this, and they're, you know, logistical for military reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, they, South, they're trying to make this Britney Spears thing into something that I'm sure it's important to a lot of her fans, but it's not the story that needs to be a front page.
No, of course not. But there's a lot of stuff. You know, unfortunately, we're sort of hungry for celebrity news, which I am not personally, okay? You know, I could care less about Britney Spears. I mean, I wish her well. I don't know her, so I wish her the best, as I wish any human being. But I'm not hungry for celebrity news. That has never been my interest. But, Bruce, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Anything else that you wanted to say regarding what's going on in our cities? Any additional point that you wanted to make?
This is a fluid situation, and as we get closer to the 2022 elections, we're going to see something change.
Yeah. Well, it's got to, Well, I think you're right. I think that this is going to start hurting them politically. But let me ask you one more question that you reminded me of this point when you talked about the situation being fluid. Is this going to be a bad summer for gun violence, you think? And are the cities going to get even worse this summer, Bruce?
It already is.
Wow.
You're right to think that and to ask that. It's going to get worse because as we seek to figure out solutions to stop this, to enforce the laws, and confront these criminals with guns, they will typically react. Activists will say it's a racist program.
Right.
And the guys with the guns will retaliate, take control of neighborhoods. Like there's an area in L.A., I forget that, was it Hawthorne or Industry City, where the police wouldn't even go
right
because the gangs controlled it?
Yeah, I don't know the name, but I've heard of it. I've heard of it too, and I have to think that there's a lot of police officers, and it breaks my heart to say this because I think police officers do an amazing job. I really do. But I bet there's a lot of police officers who are saying, you know what, why get involved? You're in a no-win situation, so why get involved? Just do the least you can do. You know, just basically just do the least. Don't get too involved because if you get involved and you're in a confrontation with a citizen, it's a no-win situation. And why would anybody want to be in the shoes of a police officer being investigated? I mean, that's a tough thing on you and on your family, Bruce. I mean, we forget that these men have families who must be scared to death, you know, of what's going on with their husbands and their jobs. Bruce, thank you so much. Thank you for joining me tonight, and we will do it again. But I really appreciate your perspective because you've been there, and that's something that, you know, we don't hear too much from people who've been there, Bruce.
Well, thank you, Silvio. I always enjoy our conversations.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and enjoy your moving, and don't get wet.
I won't.
All right. Our good friend Bruce, great friend of our show and just a fun guy to talk with. And we'll talk about music the next time. We enjoy talking about music a lot, of course. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.